I'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Once again, Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at his entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you may be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servants." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who prepared it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your amazing name. Last night was the Joyful Christmas 2024 production, and it was filled with praise. We pray for those who were able to come and those who were not as well. We also pray for those who were able to contribute and give of their time, and also those who sang and performed as well. In the Christmas season of December, this is a time when Japanese people are more open to hearing the gospel than other times, and they are very accustomed to hearing common Christmas songs as well. We pray that they will be able to know the true love of of God's love through us humans. If they don't know the truth, though, they won't be able to understand it. So we pray that there'll be a lot of people who can tell them the truth. We pray for those who will also be praying for the people as well. We pray that, as was the priest did in the Old Testament when they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, that we too can be carrying the gospel to others, and that God will open doors and ways for us to do so. We pray this in Jesus' name as we pray today. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Last night, it was wonderful that a lot of you were able to cooperate to make the Joyful Christmas possible. I thank you so much for all that you did to contribute to it. Today, we have a guest who is first-time visitor, so I would like to welcome them. Teroka-san and Lin-san, husband and wife, are here. Where are you? Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you very much. We welcome you. Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome to have a seat. To have the courage to go somewhere for the first time is something quite amazing. And we pray that we just want you to know that everybody sitting around you is very nice. So just take it easy and you can feel at ease. Today, we're talking about Abraham's hospitality. First, I would like to tell you a poem. The title of this poem is Low, Medium, and High. You can kind of think about where you would fit in this. Knowing, not doing what you are told to do is the lowest of low. Doing what you are told to do is low. Doing something without being told is medium. Noticing something, taking action, is high. doing something without others noticing is the highest of high. Like a mother changing a sleeping baby's diaper. So this is the poem. This is a poem. You can possibly think about how, a mother would change a child's diaper without the child not even noticing. And the child wouldn't even notice what was going on. So this is just an example of that. You could realize how this would really be the highest of high, in a sense, where you're just doing something for someone else and not even expecting anything in return. We can think of this when we think of God and how God is doing, has done so much for us. God has created this world, and He is the God who loves us. He loves us unconditionally. For example, even if you believe in God or you don't believe in God, the sun still comes up and rain still falls, and you still get oxygen, right? It's all free. If you think about your body as well, do you have to make an effort to just keep on breathing? What about your heart? Your heart is moving, right? Can you try stopping it? You can't. You can't do, the organs of your body don't just obey what you say. It's obeying what God says. You can realize in this way, it's not you that's just living, it's you're being allowed to live. And you can understand this and this, no, it's God. You don't receive a bill each month for your sunlight or how much oxygen you've used, right? Yeah. Oh, there was a lot of cloudy days, so you have your sunlight bills down a little bit this month. Or you got a really high oxygen bill this month. Oh, it was because you started going to a gym. you don't have these things, right? God gives this all to you for free. He provides everything you need. And most of these things He gives you without you even noticing that you just get it. And He really is such a gracious and a hospitable God. Today we're looking once again at Abraham, who's a person who is alive in the times of the Old Testament. Hospitality is, of course, doing something nice for others. But, for example, in the Tokyo Olympics, they would have presentations made. And there was Crystal Takigawa, who used the phrase omotenashi in Japanese. And it was just a way of saying hospitality at that time. Because of that, that was one of the reasons the Tokyo Olympics was actually chosen to be in Japan. And in holding the Tokyo Olympics, we also know that there was a lot of darkness in it, and that there was a person involved in the Olympic committee who was involved in bribery and giving a lot of things that he shouldn't. And so, unfortunately, there was a lot of darkness in it as well. However, as Takigawa-san had said, who's very honest, this omotenashi, it is not only just what you see on the surface, but there's a lot of things going on behind. Japanese joke. Anyway, today we are talking about Abraham's hospitality. First of all, on a very hot day, Abraham was near his tent and he was sitting. At that time, he sees three travelers coming toward him. These three people are not mentioned exactly in identity right here, but later we know that two of them were angels and one was Jesus Christ. You were like, well, wait a minute, would Jesus Christ be in the Old Testament? Of course, it isn't the physical Jesus Christ in human form that we know in the New Testament, who we refer to in the first Christmas, but rather the Old Testament is the pre-incarnate Christ. And one of those instances is in today's passage. Why is it that Jesus Christ visited Abraham? It's because He wanted to tell him two messages. The first one is a great and a happy message, a year later from then, Sarah would be pregnant or would give birth to a child, And so this was a very happy message. The other message was a little more difficult to take, and that was the Sodom, the area where his nephew Lot lived, would actually be destroyed. According to Jewish folklore, that at that time Abraham was just the third. It was just the third day after he had had circumcision. And because this was this continuation from chapter 17, where God had told Abraham that between him and his people there would be this agreement, and in the agreement that would require circumcision. So Abraham, not he only himself, but him and all the other men were circumcised. So it is said it was only 3 days since then. Anyone who's had surgery would realize that usually after 3 days of surgery, you would still be in pain. You can imagine that Abraham would have still been in pain, but despite of that, he was very hospitable. First of all, we addressed these three guests, and you can see how he addressed them and was hospitable in a very nice way. It says in verse 2, Abraham looked up and saw the three men standing by. When he saw them, he hurried to from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed down to the ground. Here he is running up to meet these visitors he doesn't even know. Verse 3, he said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord," and this Lord is not the Lord God, but just a form of respect to people here. And so you travelers, and he says, "Do not pass your servant by." He says, you know, if I found favor in your eyes, you know, if you want to, you know, if you're in a hurry, you can go on. But he was just being really polite to them, you know, asking them to please come to his house or his tent. And so he was being very, very kind, you can see. Abraham addressed the travelers by wanting to provide them with what they needed. If anyone has been to Israel, it's probably likely you will understand this. When it's very in the hot season, it is very hot. And if you go there on a trip, you would really want water, especially water to wash your feet if you had were wearing shoes. And so that would have cooled you down as well. You would also want shade. It's very hot out in the sun. However, there's not very high humidity, so as long as you're in the shade, it's actually a cool, especially if a breeze comes along. Another reason, or another thing they would need is food, delicious food. In Israel, if you go on a trip, it's a really hard schedule. You have to go all these different places, and when you hear it's lunch, anyone's really happy because they finally get to eat, and it's a lot of fun. Here you can see these three travelers were in need of various things, and Abraham was willing to provide them with water, shade, and also a meal. Even now in the Sinai Peninsula or that area, it's actually kind of, there are actually some nomadic people who are living similar lives as to the people lived back then. They just move along with their cattle, and they're very just flexible type people just moving around. However, in the days of Abraham, there was a difference between such nomadic people these days, because nomadic people these days now have, you know, cell phones and they can share information easily about, you know, what water sources and so on. To do something nice for travelers, of course, the people who are getting something out of it are happy, but also there's an advantage to those who are providing such services, especially back in the day, because in those days they didn't have TVs and internet and so on. So back in those days, if you're able to get external information and receive, you would only be able to receive it from travelers, and you would be able to find out where water resources were or where there was other information like dangerous people. And so there was information that would actually help save your life in some cases. You can see that in that way, it would be very advantageous to be hospitable, as it was a win-win situation. So how is it that Abraham was hospitable? Well, you can see how he really exceeded the normal level of hospitality. The first thing he did was that he was very quick in his preparations. If you see in verse 6, it says how he hurried into the tent to Sarai and said, "Quick, quick, get these, get the ingredients ready to make bread." If you look in verse 7, it says how he ran to the herd and selected. So you can see he was going quickly. And then he chose one, and he asked them to hurry and prepare it. So here you can see he was expecting speed. When you're hungry, to make someone wait is just the lowest thing you can do. So you would want to get the food to them as quick as possible. And he also found high-quality items to give these travelers. He picked asked for the 3 seas of fine flour, it says, and then he chose a tender calf. Of course, there were many to choose from, but he chose one of the best ones. And also, he made sure there was a sufficient amount. For example, 3 seas of fine flour, that is actually 38 liters. So if you have a 1-liter bottle, I'm sorry, that should be 23, not 38, 23 liters worth, which would be a lot. And also high quality information. How much steak, for example, could you eat? 140 to 100, 200 at most, that'd be a lot of meat. And here he made a whole calf for just 3 people. He also had yogurt and milk products as well. So this would have been the greatest thing he could have done for them. He also gave of himself to them as well. You can see how his hospitality was very high class. As a result, you can see that Abraham was able to hear that a year later he would have a son. If these 3 travelers had not told him the message, then it would have truly been his loss. Of course, if you do something nice for others, the other people are excited and blessed by it, but you too will be as well. There's one interesting story I read recently, and it is a true story. In Spain, there is a person by the name of Don Montello. And in Madrid, Spain, he actually owns, a lot of really top-class restaurants. And there was one day when his stomach really started to hurt. So he went to the hospital, and he had a test done. And they told him he needed further testing. And after the further testing, they found out that he had cancer in his liver and that he didn't have long to live. He realized that he'd been in pain for a while, but he hadn't had time to go to the hospital, and so he just kind of put it aside. But he was finally so bad that he had to go to the hospital, and that's when they discovered that he had cancer, and he was only going to have a life expectancy for a few more months. So his biggest concern was trying to find a person to pass on his restaurant business to choose who would be the next owner of all of these restaurants. He was thinking of all of these individual managers at the individual restaurants to decide which person would be best to oversee all of them. He decided to actually dress up as a homeless person to figure this out. And he went to each and every restaurant. And he went to each of the restaurant to see how each of the managers would react to him. The first restaurant he went to was the highest class restaurant. And he went and stood there dressed as a homeless person. And his guard just came immediately. And he's like, "What are you doing here?" And then the manager came and he asked, "Well, why are you here?" And he said, "I haven't eaten in days. If you could just give me one piece of bread, that would be fine." But the manager said, "If you show up in a little better clothing, perhaps then, and And then I can let you at least see the people eating in the restaurant. Don Lontello was actually always telling the managers not to choose which customers to let into the building based on how they're dressed. He was actually told the managers on a regular basis to just be kind to nice to everyone. However, he realized that when they saw him dressed as a homeless person, that they were not doing what they were told. But the manager said, well, if you really need something, just go around to the back. You know, there's a trash can back there. You can get something out there. So Don Montella was very sad, but left. He went to the next restaurant. And this also was a very nice, high-class restaurant. He went up to the entrance and tried to go in, and the waitress came and said, oh, just a moment. And then the manager came. And the manager said, someone like you can't come in. And then Montello said, actually, you know, right now I'm dressed like this, but I actually was a very prominent customer here, you know, a long time ago. And I know the owner because I used to, you know, was great friends with him. And if you call him, he would probably let me in. And the manager said, owner? The owner of this restaurant is me. And I don't want to let you in. Get out. And he was really disappointed. Then he went to the restaurant that he had opened, the very first one he had opened. And it was a great friend of his who he considered to be his right arm. And his name was Rocio. And he stood at the entrance and he saw Rocio was sitting at the counter. And of course, though, Don Montella is dressed as, you know, still as a homeless person, and he went up to him and Rocio kind of looked over him and he thought, oh my gosh, he knows he's going to figure out who I am. But actually he didn't figure it out. And the manager said to him, well, sorry, this restaurant isn't just open to, you know, anyone, and it's not open to people like you. So please go out. And then a small voice, he said, the owner of this restaurant is telling me to let people like you in here, but as long as I'm the manager of this restaurant, I'm not going to do that. I am in charge here, and it doesn't matter who is above me. And so he was tossed out of that restaurant as well. Don Montello was thinking that this good friend of his would certainly understand him, but he didn't. And so he was very disappointed and was just trying to hold back tears as he left. He went to the next restaurant and the next restaurant and the next restaurant, and he was treated the same in all of them. Then there was just one restaurant left. It was near a lake, and there was swans there, and it was a very beautiful setting. He went there, and there was just full of customers. He went up to the entrance, and there's a guard who came right up to him, and he's like, oh my gosh, not the same thing again. But the guard asked him really nicely, like, oh, can I help you? And Montella said, well, I'm hungry. If you can just give me even just one piece of bread, that would be appreciated. And then so the guard went to get the manager, and the manager came and said, okay, I will prepare a seat for you, so just wait a moment, please. And so he thought he would just be left in the waiting room. But then he was told, okay, your seat's prepared. Come on in. And here he is, dressed up still as a homeless person. And he's given this seat in this prominent restaurant. And while he's waiting for the food, the owner came up and actually spoke to Montello. He said, a year ago, I was given management of this restaurant. A few years ago, however, I was actually the owner of this big company, but unfortunately it went bankrupt. And then on top of that, my wife was involved in a traffic accident and severely injured. I had to spend all of my money on her medical care, but unfortunately she ended up dying. And so I lost all hope in life. And I started to drink alcohol. And then before I knew it, I was homeless. I was so poor that I didn't know what to do. And I came to this restaurant, and the owner there, actually, this was kind enough to let me in. He heard what I had to say, and the owner said to me, could you come to start working here starting tomorrow? And in that way, I have become who I am today. And so because of what happened to me, I want to ask you, will you start working here tomorrow? So the next day, Don Montello came back to the restaurant and gathered everybody together. And he was still showed up as a homeless person. And he slowly took the makeup off his face. And everybody was like, oh my gosh, that's not a homeless guy. That's Don Montello. And then he told all the managers and other people. And Mateo was the name of the manager at the final restaurant. He said, I am dismissing all of the other managers other than Montello. I only want people working for me who are kind-hearted. This is a true story. And as for Abraham, in Hebrews 13:2, it says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. This is referring to Abraham. He was very kind to these three travelers who he didn't know, and in return, he was able to hear a wonderful message from God. It's also true that there is someone who comes to visit you. This visitor is one who you have the decision to make, whether to accept or reject, and that will totally change your mind. These are the words of your visitor, Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. This I here is, of course, Jesus Christ. Here Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts. He's wanting to come in. If we let him in, he says that he will eat with us and he will have a deep relationship with us. He wants to have a close relationship with all his people. This passage here is sometimes the passage that actually gives hope to those who are not believers in Jesus Christ and encourages them to be saved. Of course, that's okay. But actually, this verse is directed at people who are already Christians. And it's directed at them that they already had a great relationship with Jesus, but for whatever reason, they've kind of stepped away from Jesus, and that's not ideal. And so Jesus, in this way, is calling back to them and asking that he be allowed to refurbish the relationship that they already had. The three travelers and Montello as well were ones who kind of didn't show their true appearance. And that's why the managers, didn't treat him well because they didn't know who he was. But Jesus has not hidden who he was. He has clearly proclaimed who he is. He says, I am the one who's knocking. In the same way, in Revelation 1:17, it says, I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever, and I have the keys of death and Hades. And also 22:12 says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Jesus has clearly proclaimed who he is, and he's introducing himself, and he is telling both people who believe and not believe what will happen as their destinations and the result of what they choose to do with Jesus Christ is completely different. This Jesus Christ who is rejected, anyone who rejects Jesus Christ is truly foolish. especially if they understand just how amazing He is and how He is the Savior. A while ago, there was this quiz show on TV where if you got 10 questions correct and you got them all correct in a row, then you would get this special bonus prize. However, these 10 questions are just all really hard. And so there's basically nobody could get all 10 questions correct. However, there was, you know, this one time when somebody was able to get all the 10 questions right and get this bonus chance. And this bonus thing was that there was three different things they could choose from. And the first one was to get two tickets of on a top-class cruise ship. The second one was to get this coupon for this top-class sports car. And then this third one was like a 100 yen scrub brush. So, like, which one would you choose? However, you couldn't really choose because these three things were in boxes and you couldn't see what was in what box. So you would, you know, have a 2 in 3 chance of getting something decent. And so the person had to choose which of, you know, the boxes, 1 or 2 or 3. And then he's like, okay, box 3. And then opened box 3 and it was the scrub brush. Oh, this would be a tragedy, you would think, right? Well, you know, it'd be unlucky. I mean, you didn't know, right? You didn't know if it's box 1 or 2 or 3. However, if the person on the TV program had said, you've done, you know, answered these 10 questions, and so because of that, I'll show you what's in all these boxes, and then you'll know. You know, here's the first one's the cruise ship, second one's the sports car, the third one is the scrub book. You know, look, don't choose box 3. You know, that's the scrub brush. You think the person's going to sit there and think and choose 3? That would be foolish. They would know. They would know it's a scrub brush. They know it, and to choose that would be stupid. And that's what it means to reject Christ. And I've come up, it's just a foolish person who would choose anything other than Christ. You know, if you think of Japanese festivals where they have this like goldfish, and it's a play on Japanese words, it's a Japanese joke, it's the goldfish scoop thing. And if it doesn't have the net in it, then you won't be able to scoop fish. But it's the same thing for people who choose to believe in Jesus Christ. That is the correct choice to make. And Jesus does desire to have a deep relationship with you. In Christmas, you can see signs of Christmas and Christ anywhere, right? You could remember, and actually that can help remind you of your relationship with Christ. And if it's suffering in any way, I encourage you to read more of the Bible, to pray, to sing songs of praise, to come to church services and so on to help develop your relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have this opportunity to celebrate Christmas in 2024. Regardless of where we look, we can see signs of Christmas and reminders of Christ at this time of year. Allow us, Lord, to be able to share Jesus Christ with others and enjoy that privilege. We ourselves, Lord, also can take this time to reflect on our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we're in some ways walking away from Him, allow us, Lord, to have that relationship mended at this time. Please help us. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this coming week, in this Christmas season, and forevermore. Amen. We have a few announcements.